Am I doing this right?
How many snacks has he had today?
No, please do not eat the dog food.
I think he peed on the floor.
What do we make this kid for lunch today?
Can you say dada?
Can you say mama?
Will I ever sleep again?
Welcome to Probably Okay Parenting.
Why do you put that voice on?
I think it's a nice, like, kind of like announcer type thing, you know?
Oh, so like if you were going to announce a sports game, you would use that?
A sports game, yes.
Like, Ricky just stole third.
No, not more like, you know, welcome to the big show, like one of those types of things. Or what do they say in box? Let's get ready to rumble. That's basically what I'm going for.
A podcast where we talk about our experience as new parents and all the weird shiza that happens. For example, last week we talked about our child's toy being mistaken for a sex toy, and that's become my new selling point when I tell people about this podcast. They're like, oh, what's your podcast about? And I say,
it's about toys that look like sex toys.
It's basically stories from the front lines, including
the front lines.
Our child's toy being mistaken for a dildo.
About that. Anyway, okay. What are we talking about this week?
Hey,
bud?
We're gonna give a recap of what we've been up to. We're going to finish our discussion about the extremely interesting book, The Child Code: Understanding Your Child's Unique Nature for Happier, More Effective Parenting.
You know what? You hit it the first time.
I was going to edit that out.
Unique. And who is this written by again?
Danielle Dick, PhD.
Okay, Danielle Dick.
And then we're going to end with our traditional popcom favorite DFP loving segment, Hilo Weird.
All right. And who are you, by the way?
I'm Allison.
I'm Brian.
We are parents to an 18-month, almost 19-month. I mean, after 18 months, like, I'm kind of ready to abandon the months.
Yeah, year and a half.
A year and a half-year-old, and it's a fun journey.
Unless we want to, like, all go by month. So I'm, like, a 435-month-old.
Let's do that. Let's start the movement.
How many months is that? Anyway, that's for our math podcast.
Save it.
Recap.
Okay, real quick, first very short item I want to recap is I want to say that I actually learned something really valuable.
Wow, you learned something? No.
On another parenting podcast.
Oh, no, we don't talk about other
parenting podcasts. Not to give airtime to a competitor, but I do listen to a few of these.
This is a very competitive space.
None of them are quite as tomfoolerish as ours.
Okay.
But this other one I listened to, they were talking about how their kid kind of started throwing little mini tantrums. And the one mom, who's one of the hosts of the podcast, said, basically, anytime your child is throwing a little mini tantrum around this age, year and a half-ish, it's usually because they need more independence or they need more autonomy. And, like, what's being done is, like, too controlling for them. So I thought about that, and do you remember how, I think we were talking about this on the pod, but definitely we were talking about this. Every time we try to put on pants on our guy, he throws a complete fit and starts flipping out.
Yes.
So
violently?
Yeah. Like, it's actually very tough, because when you finally get one leg in, and then you start working on the other leg, he gets the first leg out.
Oh, yeah. Don't even start with
me. It had become like a two-person job, but I thought about what this person said on this podcast, and I thought, you know what? This might be one of those times. So I just handed him the pair of pants and said, can you put your pants on? And it has 100% solved this issue.
And blown out all of our eardrums as well in the process.
Well,
but
it wouldn't be this podcast without it.
I see what you're saying. I mean, obviously he's not getting the pants on totally by himself, but
he can kind of do it.
And since then it's been much easier if we kind of just like let him start.
Yes. And then we help him finish the job. No tantrum. He's actually delighted. And I'm going to start trying to apply this in other areas too. It's like,
so how do you apply that when he's like pointing, like to me, the thing that he's throwing the biggest tantrums about are like, I want that knife. You know what I mean? Like if we're chopping something, or he's like, you know, I want to put my finger in the out. It's usually actually something that's out of his reach that he's reaching for.
Yeah,
and it could be like food or whatever.
Right. I hear you. Like if he wants something and we don't give it to him. I think maybe in that instance we just need to put more things within his reach. Like knives and
Yeah, knives and okay. What else would you like to recap?
Oh, okay. Well, we took a trip last weekend with our year and a half year old.
Mm-hmm. Have a nice trip.
By plane. And can we just say that our last trip that we took was, I think he was about just a little bit over a year. And this time he was a year and a half. And big difference in his ability to sit still on the airplane, would you say?
I would say.
In fact, it was literally non-existent.
Yeah, I would say it was not the most fun as far as like the flight aspect.
Yeah. He just wanted to walk up and down the aisles, which I have to say I was totally fine with, but you for some reason had some kind of major problem with that.
Nice. I mean,
I'm trying to stir up some drums for our pod.
I can see that. So, I mean, he was fine walking up and down the aisle a little bit, but when he is like stopping at somebody's thing and then starts like getting ready to reach into their aisle and who knows what,
he was just waving.
Like, you know what? Maybe we want to be proactive about stopping. I don't want to get him like put on the no-fly list or something like that, you know?
He was just walking up and down, waving at people.
I was young age.
Pretending that I didn't know him, and you were running after him, trying to stop him from doing this totally safe activity.
Yeah, for sure.
Anything else you want to say about our trip?
Once we were there, it was not horrible, which...
What?
I would say, okay, other than like trying to get him to sleep, but
he doesn't
during the day,
sleep in anywhere.
We had a great time most of the time during the day. We had really bad weather. So, of course, everything that we had planned was like going outside, going for walks, going to the playground, and then we were like stuck inside, but we made it work. The hard part was obviously sleep. He does not sleep when we are not at home.
Right. So we'd love any suggestions from our PopCom listeners, DFPs.
Honestly, I don't really care about your suggestions.
Because this
child
does not sleep unless it's his own crib, which he sleeps great in his own crib, and we're very thankful.
Now.
But, it did take us a full year to get there. But when we're on the when we're traveling, we do all the things.
On the road.
You know, he's got a comfy pack-and-play mattress. He's got the sound machine. We get real dark.
We have used one of those dumbass tents before.
Yeah, the slumber pod. We've tried that, but that didn't really...
We're just hauling more stuff.
Exactly.
But
he just needs his space. And the other thing is, like, we can't even bring him into our bed and sleep because he doesn't sleep in our bed. So that was hard.
We went to, like, some group events where there was a lot of people. And, you know, when there's a lot of people at a group event, you never know how your kid's going to react. But he did really well. Like, in general, he was really chill when he, quote unquote, needed to be.
Yes.
But
except
then
for
when
from
he
the
did,
hours of
yeah,
7
when he
p.m.
did
to 7 a.m.
need to be, then it was like, okay, I'm just going to scream.
Right.
Yeah.
But I guess that's traveling with littles.
Exactly. Then we made it home and smooth sailing since then.
Yeah.
Back to the routine.
Back to the routine. And our pediatrician told us something. He was like, whenever you change up the routine, if you travel or you have grandparents visit or something's different, as soon as it's over, you have to get immediately back on the highway.
Right.
And so just like, don't waste any time. We're just immediately back to the routine. And... Yeah.
Works. It works.
It's working well so far. The last thing I want to say about the trip is, so we went to Nashville, and in the Nashville airport, there is a children's play place, and I've never seen that in an airport, really, or at least such a clean one.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe it was pretty tucked away, like it was all the way at the end there.
Yeah. But
it was really nice. It was not very big or anything like that, but it was really nice.
And we just happened to get to the airport early, and then... He had a lot of time to climb on stuff, and there were toys. It was like a little mini children's museum.
Yeah.
So shout out Nashville Airport. That's awesome.
Yeah, shout out Nashville Airport to Nashville and Tennessee. But anyway.
Okay. You good on the recap?
Yeah, that was my recap.
Okay.
Our recap.
Yeah, our.
Our main story tonight.
Should we jump into parenting news?
Parenting news.
Parenting news.
A few episodes ago, I had read just the first little bit of The Child Code, and I was loving it so much that we started talking about it, but I hadn't finished it yet. But now, my friends, I have finished it, and so many other good little nuggets in here. So I definitely highly recommend this book, and I'm just going to pick, I marked a few spots I wanted to talk about that I thought would be interesting.
Yeah, I see there's a lot of post-its.
So we can just chat through a few of these little segments. And to our listeners out there, we'd love to know what you think about some of these questions that we're going to pose. But basically, the overall premise of this book, you know, the age-old debate, nature versus nurture, what shapes you as a person? And obviously, like a behaviorist or this author would say that, you know, your genetic code is basically so important, so much more important than your environment and who you are and your likabilities and your preferences and your skills and all these things are already decided in your genetic code. And obviously, you know, your environment has a lot to do with shaping you, but not as much. But what she says, which I thought was really interesting, is basically that, like, your personality and who you are is just a result of how the world responds to your genetic code.
Oh.
Do you know what I can tell by your own?
No, no, I know exactly what you mean. Oof. I mean, okay, here's the thing. You're talking about philosophy right now. Because
sure.
I don't think that there's a way for you to really empirically, like prove that.
Oh, no, there's no way to prove any of this. So that's why it's fun to debate and talk about.
Sure. So, I mean, to that extent, I feel like you're having a semantic argument, kind of.
Well, an example I thought about in relation to our son is, like, he really doesn't love to be read to, it seems. Like, anytime we try to read him
sure.
a book, he, like, closes
He's very
it.
Young.
He is
and
more
he,
active.
I feel like he has become more engaged. And again, it's like now he can last for 3 pages instead of none.
Sure.
But, you
but
know.
There are some kids his age who love to like sit and snuggle up with their parents, sit still and listen to a book. And
sure.
he would rather climb on the couch and run around and throw balls.
Try and concuss himself.
So I think as a result of that, we don't read to him as much as maybe parents of a child who loves to snuggle up and listen to a book. They probably get read to a lot more. But we're usually doing more active playtime with him and
yeah,
climbing and
so
running and jumping. So
continue
because
continue to justify how we don't read to our child.
So because of that, we don't read to him as much because he didn't show an interest in being read to. And so therefore we're just kind of like perpetuating maybe later on he won't love reading or books as much because of how we responded to his initial interests.
Okay. Thereby it's like his That's not his genetic code, though.
Yeah. Well, what? How do you explain that some kids really like to sit and listen to their parents read?
Okay. Let me rephrase. Instead of saying it's not his genetic code, let me say it is his genetic code for a second. Okay, sure. It's his genetic code. And then the environment around him is being shaped by his genetic code
yeah.
or whatever. Thereby dictating his nurture part of that
exactly
experience.
So
but you're saying it's both then
yeah no
point.
It definitely is both, but it starts with the genetics and then everything else is a result of the world responding to those.
I get what you're saying, but I also I think that a lot of this is purely random, and I think like that's the whole thing with the universe is that it's kind of all random. So, you know, with the example of music, he sees us play the piano with great frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So then he, too, is like, oh, let me do this. And when he even goes near the piano, we're like, yay. When he goes near a book, we're like, oh, buddy, do you want to read? We're not like, holy shit. Like
I
we
am.
Are when
I
he
am.
Goes. No, you're not. Like, he, like we are when he goes to the guitar or the piano or something like that. So how about this? Okay. For the next month, next 4 weeks, every time he goes to a book, let's go, holy fucking shit. And then take it from there.
And
let's
see what happens.
Let's see what happens.
Okay.
Okay.
I like it. Okay. So another big part of this book has to do with the levels of extroversion in parents and kids and what happens when an extroverted parent has an introverted kid or vice versa. So,
oh, I am already going to say I hate this because
okay.
I think that there's the extroverted introverted thing is 100% based on your environment.
Really?
Without question. There's no question.
Don't you think there's some people who get energy from social interactions and some people who don't or who get more energy from recharging by themselves?
I think everyone is different, and I don't think that we can say, like, people fit into two categories, either introvert or extrovert. Like for me, I might fit the introvert category in that particular definition. However, I feel very comfortable in social situations, and I feel very comfortable like introducing myself to new people or like performing and like being in front of large groups, and that's very extroverted things. So I don't think it's, we can't say, oh, well, I'm an introvert, or, oh, I'm an extrovert. You know what I'm saying?
I do, but some people can say definitively.
No.
Let me read you the segment.
Okay, let's hear it from Dr. Dick.
Before you had a child, you probably imagined all the fun things you would do together.
And wait, what? Who?
You as a parent. What do you mean?
When you said that you would do together, are you talking about the parents, the kid and the parent?
Yeah, like you saying, oh, I can't wait to play video games with him, or I can't wait to take him to wherever.
A baseball game. Psych.
Is that okay. What you dreamed about?
Yeah,
I can't
wait for that.
Okay. The activities you imagined, whether you realized it or not, were likely related to your own level of extroversion. So let's talk about the activities that you've voiced that you're excited to do with our son.
Music,
yes. Also, you've talked about playing video games with him a lot, and also keeping him home from school to play video games, and also taking him out of school to go to the arcade or the movie theater.
I have said, you know, definitely I am a, shall I say, voracious consumer of media, be it, you know, video games or TV or film, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely, you know, I appreciate all those art forms. I hope that he does too. Similarly with music, right?
Sure.
So,
but wouldn't you say a lot of those activities are more introverted? Whereas for me, I think the activities I've talked about I'm so excited to do with him is sign him up for t-ball and help coach his t-ball team and take him on trips and take him to various activities, gymnastics.
Yeah, but I've also said I'm very excited for him to do t-ball.
Sure, yeah. But as far as like the things that you imagine doing with your child?
I don't know. I mean, I do, again, I think that it feels right, like what you're saying, because it might be anecdotal to our situation, but yeah, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think, like, seeing a movie with him, okay, video games are a great example. I think that people who do not play video games think that it's like this very inherently, that it's an inherently introverted activity,
mm-hmm.
but it's actually extremely social. Like literally every single time you're playing, you're talking to people that you've never ever talked to before. You may never talk to them again. And you're like, I think that's very similar to sports in that concept that you're playing. Like it's like pick up basketball, you know, you're like,
but you're talking to them through a controller.
What does that
headphones.
Have to do with anything? You're still talking. You're still, like, how is that different from playing a basketball game with people you've
you're
never
in person
before?
With somebody.
But how is that different? You're still socializing.
I think it's very different. Listeners, let us know what you think.
Well, again, that's my point. People who don't play video games, I think, have that perception.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, again, as it relates to even consuming media with my child, it is the social aspect. I can't wait to watch a movie with him so that we can then go get a slice of pizza and talk about it. It's not like so that we can just sit silently by ourselves, watch a movie, and then go home. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It is the social aspect. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Okay. So basically she ends this section just saying that, you know, if you and your child have completely different temperaments, sometimes that's the root of parental concerns and challenges. So I feel like this is kind of aimed to parents of kids who are a little older, but something good to keep in mind.
Okay. Closing. What was something good to keep in mind?
Just like that there can be conflict that arises when you and your child have different temperaments. And sometimes it's like hard to realize that that's why the conflict is happening. Okay, the next segment that I want to talk about talks about that famous study, you've probably heard about it, where kids were told, like, here's a marshmallow right in front of you that you could eat right now, or I'm going to walk out of the room for 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah, delayed gratification.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
And if you don't eat the marshmallow, when I come back, you get 2 marshmallows. So this is a legitimate study.
Finally.
And basically, they concluded that, like, they continued to follow these children as they grew up, and whether the child could wait for the greater reward as a preschooler was predictive of all kinds of life outcomes. Children who could wait longer had higher SAT scores and better social and academic skills in adolescence. They gave in less to temptation and were better able to concentrate, think ahead, and plan. In young adulthood, they used fewer drugs, achieved higher education levels, and had lower mass indexes. They were better at handling stress and frustration and did better at pursuing their goals.
This is bullshit.
Why?
Because there are so many other fucking factors in someone's life than whether or not they took a marshmallow at this one particular time on this one particular day. Everything down from what did that kid have for breakfast that morning. So, like, you're going to tell me, oh, well, in 1965, Bobby did or did not eat a marshmallow.
But that's the point of
and
studying hundreds of kids.
He lives under a bridge, unfortunately, because he did, in fact, take that marshmallow because he was hungry that morning. And sorry about and Sally, she didn't. And you know what? Sally turned out to be Barack Obama. It is like these, even one that you hear that it's like
not just one kid.
A data study is like, I don't believe that bullshit for a second.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, I was just thinking about myself, and I definitely would not have waited for the two marshmallows. Still wouldn't.
No shit. And you're very smart, very successful person. Not to say that people who live under bridges are not. That might be their idea of success. But anyway.
Yeah, Brian. Maybe that is their goal that they pursued.
And hey, more power to them.
Okay. But basically, the whole idea is that there's, like, different parts of the brain, right?
Yeah, bring it on home. Bring it on
home. I'm going to bring it on home. Thank you. And they, in this book, she calls it the hot brain and the cool brain.
Okay, this definitely seems data-driven.
Appropriate. Okay, so the kids who opted to indulge in the immediate marshmallow had hot brain regions that were more active, especially in the presence of tempting stimuli. So the hot brain is kind of like the fight or flight. It's not always bad. It's the part of the brain involved for like quick decisions. And they say it has been shaped by tens of thousands of years of evolution. It was critical for our ancestors to survive. But the cold brain is where the like reasoning comes into play and thinking through solutions. And so looking at preschoolers who had developed more of their cold brain, they ended up being way smarter later.
Wow.
Okay, well.
That's okay. Well, look, you know, I think all these things we could debate back and forth, obviously, but at the end of the day, who the fuck knows, you know?
Well, I think that's why there's like 8,000 parenting books.
And yeah, and it's like for every one parenting book that believes X, you can find one that believes Y. And, you know, I don't know that we're probably closer to figuring things out than we were, you know, 1,000 years ago, but probably not much.
Probably not. All right, well, highly recommend The Child Code. I think that it's aimed towards parents of kids a little older, 3 or 4 years old, when more of the personality is coming out. So I might give it a revisit in a few years, but definitely recommend it.
Yeah, as always, I think with these books, it's interesting to just have like a perspective, whether or not you agree with it. And then it just kind of makes you think about like your own parenting and what you prioritize, what you value. So
yeah.
Thanks, Dr. Danielle Dick.
Thank you so much. All right, moving on to Hilo Weird.
Hello.
Weird.
Allison, what was your... Let's start with your weird this week. What was your weird?
Okay, so I feel like I have big shoes to fill because my weird of last week was such a hit.
What was it again?
The dildo.
Previously on. Oh, yeah, duh. That was the whole... that was the whole cast.
Yeah, pretty much. This time, not even close to that. But I was at the bookstore with our child the other day, and there's a big train set there that he really loves to play with. So I was sitting on the ground, and he was playing with the trains, and there were two other little boys, and they were both playing too, and their moms were there also, and they clearly were all around the same age. And then at one point, one of the moms said, oh, how old is he, to the other mom? And she said, oh, he's almost two. And then she said, oh, mine too, he'll be two this month. And then they looked at me and said, how old is yours? Now, these other two boys were very slender. And
what are you trying to say?
Our guy is pretty thick. And so
three C's.
I said, oh, he's 18 months. And then I followed it up with a chunky 18 months, just like that.
Why are you saying that?
Why are you looking at me?
You don't have to body shame it.
No, I'm not body shaming. I love his chunkiness. But that's exactly how they took it. They started consoling me. They started consoling me like I was saying I was chunky. I said a chunky 18 months, like in a loving way. Who doesn't love a chunky baby?
I don't think you even need to talk about the size of his body.
And here's the thing. I was saying it because their kids were so much smaller and they both just said they're almost two. So I was kind of like laughing about it. And then they both started saying, oh, but no, he's so cute. Like kind of like I was saying something bad about my child, which I wasn't at all.
I understand what you're saying, but you could also just say no. They didn't ask you about it, if you think he's chunky or not.
Okay, just making conversation, bro.
I just feel bad for him that you're just taking him around town, calling him chunky to people he doesn't even know.
In an endearing way.
Uh-huh.
It's so cute. And then there's another part to this weird.
Okay.
So then after, it's a two-parter.
I was going to say, I haven't really even heard the weird part.
Well, that was weird, but here's another
weird.
Just
that they were consoling you?
Yeah, and it was like, no, I wasn't saying it in a bad way. I'm saying it lovingly.
Fair enough. Awkward. That's your awkward of the week.
Isn't that what weird
high,
is?
High, low, weird, and awkward.
Okay, fine. Then here's my weird. So then we were playing and playing and playing. One of the boys left, and so it was just our son and the other kid. And then I realized, wait a second. I've seen this kid before. And this is like, we're 10 or 15 minutes into
this
playing.
This is high, low, creepy.
Yeah. I was looking at this little boy thinking, I've seen a picture of this little boy before.
On like a milk carton?
I don't know, somewhere. So then I'm like kind of racking my brain, like, where have I seen this little boy? And then I realized, like, wait a second.
Eureka.
I think this might be my coworker's grandchild because she's a very proud grandmother, as they often are. And so she shows us sometimes in our meetings. I'm in her department. So in our department meetings, sometimes she'll show us pictures of her grandchild. And
she's
showed
like, slide
me a lot
two,
because
pictures of my grandson.
Yeah. She showed me a lot because she knew I have a son around that age. So then I was like, wait a second.
Is that Gerald?
I think that might be. And I work a few towns over, so it was like, I don't know. So then I just decided, whatever, I'm just going to ask.
What do you mean a few towns over? Well, you know, I wasn't sure if they were going to take the horses all the way this far.
Well, it's just like, why would you be in this random bookstore of our town? It's not
I
like
guess,
I work in the town that I
We live in like
live
the western
in.
Suburbs of Chicago, so, you know.
So?
I guess it's not, yeah, it's not like what I said. I can't believe y'all traveled this far. Must have taken you 3 days on foot.
Okay. Anyway, I just went for it. I said, hey, is your mom Susie Q?
I know, obviously, her name is not Susie Q.
And
but
we don't
the question,
say people's names without
yeah,
their consent.
The funny part of this is I obviously know how the story ends up, but I just want to take a moment to just go down the path of if this person said no.
I would just say, oh, sorry, you look like her or something. It wouldn't
okay.
be that weird.
Oh, I guess it's good that you started with that instead of being like, hey,
I think
is
I've
that
seen your
kid's
child
name
before.
Clarence?
Right, right. So anyway, I said, is your mom Susie Q? And she said, yeah. And I said, oh, I work with her and I've seen so many pictures of your son. I recognized him because she shows us all the time. And it was all good and happy and
but
it worked out.
But she immediately was like, oh, yeah, that tracks.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think many grandmothers are that way. So
yeah, certainly.
That's my weird times two. What's yours? Go.
My weird is it's kind of a gross more than a weird, but you know how you put out like goldfish or whatever for your kid and then you just start eating them?
Yes.
Like, especially if he kind of walks away from them, I definitely am like, oh, okay, well, finders keepers. These are mine now.
Yeah.
So I started doing that, and I'm like, damn, these are really wet as I was eating them. And turned out, well, you had told me, oh, yeah, he actually just spit those out.
Yeah.
Like, okay. But, yeah, I mean, hey, they were still good. Anyway, that's my short but weird of the week.
Okay. What's your low?
What's my low? My low of the week was just like, it was a short-lived low, but it was a low. And it was the end of our Nashville trip. We had parked like in another solar system, basically, from the airport.
Uh-huh.
So we... Okay, I'll just very specifically talk about O'Hare because that's the airport that we were at.
Okay.
You literally I'm not even exaggerating. I swear to you, I'm not being hyperbolic when I'm saying this, dear listeners. We took no less than 6 elevators.
Traveling in an airport with a stroller is hard.
It
yes.
was like walk from point A to point B, take an elevator up. Then you go up, then you go somewhere else, take the elevator literally down.
Yeah.
Then you take an elevator. Nope, not that one because it's broken. You got to go to the other
well,
one.
Especially when there's construction going on and you have to find an elevator. Yeah, it's hard.
And then we got on like the tram or whatever, and it was like, the monorail type situation to go to the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was absolutely packed. We have him in there. He's like obviously had it at this point. So he's fussing.
His dad's having a complete
meltdown.
I
literally had it. I was just like, if I don't get off this fucking thing in like 5 seconds, I'm going to scream.
Yep.
So that was definitely my low. What about you?
Fair. My low was just, we touched on it already, but in Nashville, we stayed with our friend who lives in a trendy 2-bedroom apartment, which means that she shares walls with others. And it was fun, but having a toddler who doesn't sleep well in that kind of an environment.
And screams for like 2 hours.
Screaming. I just felt so self-conscious.
She's
like,
a dog too.
Yes, the dog was bothered. I mean, she's a very kind person and I don't think she was too bothered because she loves our child.
And she's like, yeah, a very nice person.
But I was just thinking about the other people in the apartment. I mean, sometimes when he's screaming in our house, I feel like you can hear him from the outside. But when you're in an apartment building in trendy Nashville and you know, there's other apartments right next to you on both sides. I'm like, oh my God, it's 2 a.m. Are we about to get a knock on the door? I think about the scene in Sex and the City and DFPs, you'll know what I'm talking about. When the woman comes upstairs because Miranda's baby is screaming so much and she's like, oh my God, it's like 2 a.m. You got to stop that baby from screaming. And she's like, I don't know how. And then they bond because she gives her this vibrating chair and it magically works. That's what I was thinking was about to happen. Someone was going to knock and be like, yo, you got to stop.
Thank you for yet again making our ears bleed.
Anytime.
I thought that you were going to say like the police. I didn't think that you were thinking
police?
Like, oh, it's me, Sandra, with my vibrating chair from the third floor.
It's not illegal to have a crying baby. You thought we were getting arrested?
Like, ma'am, there's been a noise complaint.
What are you, can you call in a noise complaint to the police about a crying baby?
Probably.
But
I
are
mean,
they they're not going to do anything. They're not going to go. What was your high and don't steal mine?
My high is, again, sorry to harp on the music stuff again, but I'm a big whistler. It's a, you know, great activity to pass the time and, you know, just passive activity when you're showering or whatever. And our son sees me do this quite frequently. And randomly, he was making kind of like a whistling sound, not on purpose, but just the way he was inhaling. Like he was making kind of a weird face. And so then I made that same face, and then I was whistling, like, but on purpose. And then he kind of saw me do this and then started doing it, like, a lot. And it's such a hilarious face. And so now he's just been doing this, like, crazy and just, like, continually whistling.
It's pretty funny.
And, yeah, just it's wild to see him start to, like, figure out those fine motor skills, like, related to, you know, pursing your lips and things like that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your reaction to that story as you scroll on your phone.
Sorry, I'm looking for a picture to inspire my high.
Okay, great. Well, thanks. Yeah, that was a great podcast. I have a new low. And what about your high?
All right, my high was a special hand-me-down toy that we just got from a DFP. Actually, I don't think he's a DFP, but a coworker of mine.
He may or may not have listened to our podcast once.
I don't think this interests him, which, let's be real, who would this interest?
Well,
besides the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people listening.
Like, but none of them being men. But yeah, I understand what you're saying. Go on.
He gave us this really sweet piano toy that has a microphone that has some like reverb on it. And our son plays with it. He sings into the mic. He goes, la, la, la. And he does a little boogie. And there's like a little piano bench. And man, it's fun. So,
and the sound, the sound that like the mic makes, as you said, because there's like a little reverb or like a chorus effect.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
I think it's really interesting because it's the first time he's kind of like heard his own voice.
Mm, good good point.
So it's like when you leave a message for someone and then you hear that and you're like, is that my voice?
Right.
It's
that's kind of
like
what
that.
He does.
It's
yeah.
been really interesting to hear him react and see him react to his own voice.
And, you know, a repurposed toy, it's just great because you didn't contribute to more plastic in the world. You're still making use out of something. And love a hand-me-down. Can't wait to pass it on in 4 years when he's done with it.
Absolutely.
That was a weak high, I'll admit it.
I don't think it was a weak high at all.
Oh, thanks, hon.
Anyway, all right. If your child is spitting up snacks, but, you know, you're still eating them because, you know,
you're a great dad.
Really paying attention.
If your child doesn't sleep while you're on a trip and you have several more trips planned and you are regretting all of them.
If you present very finite data and then, like, a whole shitload of anecdotes as, like, actual empirical studies.
Hey, we forgot to say thank you so much for listening. And we are so happy that this podcast seems to be growing and growing every single week. Please visit us on Instagram at @probablyokparenting. If you interrupted your husband's wonderful sign-off of his podcast and he's giving you a dirty glare, it's probably okay.